a yajna. And the occasion of the yajna is one of the essential samskaras, or purificatory stages of life. In some cultures it's called, I learned this from Bhakti Jyotha Swami, rites of passage. Sounds cool, huh? When the soul is journeying from one situation to the next situation to the next situation, like before conception, before the soul is brought into the womb of the mother, there's a samskara, or a rite, a purificatory practice that's performed for the soul's journey from that, from the previous life into the womb of the next mother. And then so forth. At the stage when the soul comes from the deep sleep stage to the awake stage, still within the womb of the mother, another samskara. When the body leaves the body of the mother and the umbilical cord is cut, that change of the next stage, another procedure like this, a samskara of purificatory practice is performed. When that living entity changes from the food from the body of the mother, as the milk of the mother, and takes instead grains, there's another, so independent of the mother, and so forth, each different progressive stage of life. There are purificatory practices meant to give blessings to the journey of the soul to successfully move on to the next stage, ideally, towards the goal of life, not just around another time and around another time. This cycle of birth and death, ideally, if it's done proper consciousness and so forth, then the soul's journey beyond this body into the next situation, into the spiritual realm. So this one, out of those different purificatory practices, is called diksha, where the formal connection between the soul and Krishna, the line of deceptive succession leading to Krishna, gives the connection with Krishna, or formal connection with Krishna through the line of deceptive succession is made. That's what's happening this evening. And the very simple practices, procedures you just saw, they're purificatory. Sipping water three times and saying names of the Supreme Lord. Om Keshavaya Namaha. Om Narayanaya Namaha. Om Govindaya Namaha. Calling the names of the Lord. And then you have to do the Om. Okay. So there's a mantra that summarizes what was just taking place. And the verse says, Om Apavitra Pavitrova. Pavitra means purified. Apavitra, not purified. Sarvavastam Gatopiva, that's like, etc. Everything in between purified and impure, unpurified. And passing through all different circumstances of life. Ya Smarit Pundarikaksham, these persons, who remember the Pundarikaksham, the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, Sabhaya, they're taken beyond the position of fearfulness of the sojourn of repeated birth and death. Just put it in your lap. No one wants it. Sabhaya abhyantara suchihi. Suchi means pure. One becomes purified of all the contaminations that bring a fearful condition, that is, this repeated birth and death. Finished by the remembrance of the lotus-eyed Pundarikaksha, personality of Godhead. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. That's the mantra for purification. And now we're going to chant together some other auspicious mantras. Shri Brahma Samhita. The translations are not here. But after we chant, I'll say a few things about these nice mantras. You don't have one? You can look on to your neighbor. If you don't have a neighbor, find one. Beautiful prayers by Lord Brahma that come from Sri Brahma Samhita. Just reading Jiva Goswami's Mangala Charana for Sri Brahma Samhita. He says that there are 1,000 chapters of Sri Brahma Samhita. One chapter is remaining, which is chapter 5 of 1,000 chapters. But in this one chapter, a summary of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is presented in a very capsule form, and these verses we just chanted are the mature fruit of Brahma's realization about the truths of Govinda. And who is Govinda? He's Krishna in Vrindavan taking care of the cows. Govinda. One who gives pleasure to the cows and the senses. And he's the source of everything that exists. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Ishvara means controller. Just by the invitation of one of our audience members, I'm explaining a little what we just chanted. These verses are describing Krishna, Govinda. He's the controller of all controllers. We're in control of something. When you're playing cartels, you're in control of the cartels. More or less. But Krishna is the controller of the controller of cartels. And all of the cartel players and the mridanga players and the harmonium players and the singers, because just like that, the capacity to play cartels or play harmonium, play mridanga or sing is taken from us. He's the controller of all controllers. Parama. Ishvara. Ishvara Parama. And he has a name. Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Satchitananda Vigraha. He has a form full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Like these little crying babies. They don't have forms of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. We don't either. But Krishna does. He who is the source of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Anadir. Adir. Govinda. He has no beginning, but he's the beginning of everything else. Like checkmate. He has no beginning, and he's the beginning of everything else. Sarva Karana Karana. He's the cause of all causes. And Sri Brahma Samhita is describing Govinda, Krishna. And these prayers are very beautiful in describing Krishna's abode, his loving exchanges with those within his abode. The last verse that we chanted that has the different meter is one of the nicest ones. It says, in that abode of Krishna, all walking is dancing. All speaking is a song. The place there is made of spiritual chintamani gems. Fully conscious. Imagine entering a building that's fully conscious. I mean, there's many inconceivable things of the spiritual world, and they're described in these verses, as well as the personalities who take responsibility for the material creation, which comes from Krishna. And by name, they're named what their roles are, and they derive their capacity to do what they do from Krishna. He's the controller of all controllers. He's the Lord of all lords. He's the cause of all causes. And he's forever enjoying in the spiritual world, in loving pastimes, and calling us to come and join him in his wonderful loving pastimes. So this is a yajna, or a diksha samskar. It's a purificatory practice, honoring, formalizing a connection between the living entity that's been wandering in 8,400,000 different species of life since time immemorial. You can't go back far enough in time to find when it began. Time immemorial, that's a long time. And here we are, making a formal connection with Krishna. Ramanda Pramite Kona Bhagyavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasadi Vai Bhakti Latam Beach. In Mahaprabhu's own words, living entity is Brahmanda, means this universe. And within this universe, so many species of life. Brahmanda Pramite Kona has been wandering and wondering, searching for happiness, finding dukkha instead of sukha. Yehi samsparshaja moga dukkha yonayayute. Searching for happiness, we find its opposite in this material world. The expectation is happiness, and it turns out the opposite. And again we try, and again we try, and again we try, and again we try. And at some point the light goes on and says, wait a minute. There's something about this program that's not right. And we try it again, it's dukkha again. It's not right. I want another program, please. Please, whoever you are, the supreme controller, I know that you're... The process of bhakti begins with that inquisitiveness. A preliminary, Rupa Goswami speaks of it as preliminary faith, adau shraddha. There's something besides this program. There's a reality besides this illusion. I don't know what it is. I know it is. Somewhere, I know it exists, and I want that reality. That's the beginning. Krishna sees that little beginning, and Krishna, because he's within the heart, he knows that inquisitive spirit of the living entity, and then he sends his very nice representatives, sadhu. Sadhu Sangha, they very mercifully extend whatever it is that they have been given to those who they wish to give something to. At least give the opportunity for connecting with Krishna again. That's second. Then, what do you do in the association of sadhus? You do what sadhus do. That's what you do. Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya, that's the next stage. When Srila Prabhupada describes the journey of the soul to the spiritual stages of spiritual progress, what's taking place here falls in that position, Bhajana Kriya. So in the association of sadhus, I do devotional practice, and as that faith, because faith is going from the preliminary and gradually, incrementally increasing, the stage where I wish to per the teachings that come from sadhu, there should be shelter taking representative of sadhu. So taking shelter of the disciplic succession. You see on the altar in the front, there's pictures of our disciplic succession. And our founder acharya of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada, wanted his followers to become so qualified, like he was qualified, and on his order, to continue the line of disciplic succession and accept persons in the line of Krishna. Because this line of disciplic succession goes back and back and back. And to the original personality of Godhead Krishna, who imparted transcendental knowledge into the heart of Lord Brahma. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. Krishna directly imparted knowledge into the heart of Brahma. And Brahma then in turn gave to his son, Narada. Narada in turn imparted that knowledge to Vyasadeva. And in this way, through an unbroken line of disciplic succession, this divyam gyan, transcendental knowledge, is being passed on. And the responsibility of the present representatives of our founder acharya. It's a nice job description. It's called a postal peon. That's the job description. Now, there's a postal department in every, well, most countries. As far as I know, every country, they have a postal system. The United States has a postal system. And what happens is somebody writes a letter, they seal it up, put the proper postage on it, and take it to the post office. The post office processes it, goes to the right place, and they give it to a postal peon. The post deliverer. And the postal deliverer says, this letter has your name on it, and it's from Krishna. That's the job description. And then the person says, did you open it up yet? No, I didn't change a word. Everything that Krishna said to you, it's right there. Sarva dharmam parityaja, mamikam sharanam braja, am tvam sarva papebhyo, moksha yashami vasuchaha. So that's for you. What about you? So just like that. Passing on the words of Krishna, unchanged. That's the job description. Postal peon. Purposely Prabhupada used that language because it's not flattering. A peon means like a little guy. But one should be very humble. No editing allowed of letters from Krishna to us or to others. But it's intended for particular individuals and just deliver that message of Krishna. Unchanged. Not adding something, deleting something. Unchanged message from Krishna. And that's Krishna's instructions. That's Krishna's shiksha. In addition to Krishna's shiksha, there's what we're doing this today. That's diksha. That's a little different than just the instructions. It's having heard and followed so that the candidates here, you may also one day come to them. Many persons here, of course, are already initiated, but that day certainly is available for whoever wishes to take Krishna's instructions, take them into your heart, and try to apply them and live by them. And when you try to apply them and live by them, then it will purify. And that will help prepare you for this act of diksha, submission unto the disciplic succession representing Krishna and formally being accepted by them. This requires, according to the verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mercy, good fortune, bhagyavan. Taking how Prabhupada explained, there are these two words, Bhagavan and Bhagyavan. Krishna's Bhagavan. He's Bhagavan because he has bhagas. Bhagas means spiritual opulences. According to Parashara Muni, unlimited spiritual opulences in six main categories. All beauty, all fame, all strength, all knowledge, all renunciation, all wealth. Krishna's, he's the greatest. He's Bhagavan. He possesses all opulences in their fullest. And then there's Bhagyavan. That's one who receives the mercy of Bhagavan. The one who becomes Bhagyavan, Ramanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, that very fortunate living entity, the Jiva soul. Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Vij. He receives the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And that mercy is manifest in the form of a Bhakti Lata, Bhakti Creeper, the Creeper of Devotion. The Creeper of Devotion, in its inception or its seed-like, just getting germinated stage, is the desire to serve Krishna. And when that, receiving that bhakti lata, that seed-like desire to serve Krishna, instead of serving illusion, serving Krishna, the seed-like little sprout is nurtured by the water of hearing and chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam. Hearing and chanting topics about Krishna and understanding carefully the process of devotional service itself. There are two verses that I wanted to describe because I appreciate the Prabhupada invariably made reference to them when speaking about what we're doing this evening. Initiation. Tasmad guru prapadyeta jigyasu shreyu tamam. Jigyasa means inquisitiveness, and uttama means topmost, and shreya uttama is the topmost ultimate well-being. When a living entity has that kind of question, not like what's the price of rice, or what's the forecast for tomorrow? Oh, you get the idea. Something, not something of a worldly topic, but something of an otherworldly topic. And the ultimate otherworldly topic. What's the ultimate goal of the soul in this human form of life, given we have this wonderful gift? What is the proper way to utilize this wonderful gift, human life? In its topmost stage, what is that? And what does it look like and what's the means? So, jigyasu shreya uttama, beginning of the verse, tasmat guru prapadyeta. Such a person, prapadyeta, must surrender. Prapadyeta, to a spiritual master. Tasmat guru papadita jigyasu shri uttama. Shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upashama shrayam. Which means, the first is describing what these nice devotees, what qualifications they must have to do what we're doing this evening. And the other says what the person who is the representative of the distinct succession, what are the qualifications they must have. Shabde comes from shabda, spiritual sound. During our japa retreat, we spent some time speaking about shabda. Remember? Don't get offended. Shabda. Spiritual sound meaning that which the entire spiritual world is there within that sound. Not that sound. Shabda.
That was a little material.
So, shabda pare janishnatam means the qualification of the guru unto one to one, the guru who one should surrender unto must have the following qualifications. Some shabde kareju nishnatam. They must have firm faith and firm understanding and grasp of the knowledge of the Vedas. They must have heard and understood the conclusions of the Vedas. Shabde kareju nishnatam. Brahmani, the absolute truth, Brahman, in Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan, the fullness of the absolute truth. And upasamashrayam means the other things are far away. Things of material acquisition and control and power and fruitive activities and etc. Their life is no longer involved in those things. Their life is fully involved in devotional service to Krishna. And they have full grasp of the knowledge of the Vedas. Tasmat Guru Bhagavita Jinkyasu Shreya Uttama Shabde Pareja Nishnatam Brahmani Gupashrama Shreyam. That's the verse. So by that submission to the disciplic succession, it's wonderful. Let me just give a little example. Supposing there was an electric wire that's running across the floor, and I ask you, would you like to find out if the electric wire is live or not? Just, can you touch the end of the electric wire, please? I wouldn't do that. And you wouldn't touch it either. But if you touched it, what would happen? Yeah. You'll not die. You get a shock because electricity is running through the wire. And although we're way over here and the power generating plant is way over that away somewhere, you're connecting to the power plant immediately, although we're remote. Yes? It's not the same voltage, but we're connecting to the power plant immediately. Immediately. Similarly, the connection, this represents connecting with the disciplic succession, which immediately connects one with Krishna. Immediately. And so part of the process of initiation is the giving of a spiritual name, like Krishna Das or Vishnu Das or Keshava Das or those names that we chanted before. Narayana Das, Govinda Das, names of Krishna. And then you become, when those of you that are from India, you know this one, those that you aren't from India, pretend that you're paying attention, trying to understand what I'm saying. Gotra. When you're born in India, there's a gotra, a family in which you're born. Yes, yes. We don't have that in America. We're in this other category. The Avanamalakshya category. We don't have that. But when you're initiated, besides the body that's born, it's the second birth. In the second birth, then you're given a spiritual name. Then you're part of Krishna's family. Yay! So it's very important. Becoming part of Krishna's family, just as we celebrate birthdays when the body was born. And this is when the soul's connection with Krishna is restored. So the gotra then becomes a chuta gotra. Again, those of you from India, you know what that means. A chuta means infallible, one who is you know what it means to me? Something? Your husband. Krishna. What's up? Oh. I thought you were giving me hand signals about a message I should pass on to the audience because somebody didn't get something somewhere along the way. You got me the first time, you know. Let them know what's going on. She's our MC in the background. So, connected to Krishna's family is then Achyuta Gotra. I'll just share this with you. Again, those of you from India, especially will appreciate this. We, a group of us recently went to South India. We took a group of devotees to South India. And it was really nice. We followed the path that Lord Chaitanya followed when he left Jagannath Puri to make a 2-year tour of South India. We didn't spend 2 years, we spent 11 days or 14 days or something like that. We didn't go the whole route either. We were in buses. Anyway, we walked. So each of the places where there are temples, namely it's Sri Vaishnava Pujaris that are in charge of the temples, because I wear this colored cloth, they brought me up to the front and they wanted to do a little puja in the beginning, you know. So, in the procedure, there's somebody that speaks the language of the pujari, and the pujari asks, because he needs to know to do that little puja, what's his name and what's his gotra? Because they say some prayers and then the name of the person and their gotra. So every time, the person that spoke the language of the pujari said, his name is Romapada Swami and his gotra is Achyuta Gotra. And they didn't blink. They understood what that meant, and so they did their mantras accordingly. Because whatever it is that you're born with, it, all of it, you know, the karma, one of the things when you'll see later, they're putting grains into the fire and saying Swaha, it's freeing them from their past karmas. And it's the past karma that brings us to this body. And when you're free with your past karmas, what's left? Your relationship with Krishna. Because the submission is to the line of disciplic succession and therefore unto Krishna. Just like touching the end of the electric wire. Right? You ever touch the end of the electric wire? You ever get a shock? Electrical shock? May it never happen. But may you connect with Krishna in disciplic succession. Someday. When you grow up. We're longing for that day when he grows up. It'll happen. So that's what we're doing here. Submission unto the disciplic succession. Tad vijnanartham sagaram eva vigashet samatpani shatriyam brahmanishtham. That's this other verse. Tad vijnanartham. That person who wants to know the truth, Brahman, or paratattva, the absolute truth, tad vijnanartham sagaram eva avigashet. I don't know Sanskrit, but Prabhupada said over and over again, so I know it's true. Avigachchat is in the imperative. Means you must. There's no alternative. You must. If you want to know the absolute truth, tad vijnanartham sagurum eva avigachchat, you must approach a spiritual master and submit unto Krishna through that line of spiritual masters. Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. I'll stop quoting verses after this one. Samitpani means, pani means hands. Samitpani, having firewood in the hands. That means the spiritual master would engage the disciple in menial service. When coming before a qualified person, one should be humble and be ready to do any kind of menial service. So if there's, just like Krishna, he went to the school of Sandipani Muni. And what did Krishna do for Sandipani Muni? Along with Sudama, they went and got firewood for the yajna. Menial service. He's the personality of Godhead showing by example. Samatpani. That's the qualification over on this side. Then the other, Shrotriyam, Brahmanishtam. Fixed in transcendental knowledge. Brahmanishtam, firm faith. I met one of our congregation members. Is she here? Nishta? Is she here? Nishta. There she is. Nishta means firm faith. Brahmanishtam. Firm faith in the truth, having heard the truth from the Siddhic succession. That's the qualification of the spiritual master. And that's what one is doing at this time of initiation. So there'll be some vows of initiation, vows of continuing that which has brought them to this position, chanting, following regular principles, adhering to the teachings of our founder Acharya and our disciplic line. And the reciprocation is acceptance, because relationship is two ways. There's submission and there's acceptance, and with that acceptance, the mercy of the disciplic succession, the channel is open. It's fully accessible. Then what's required is that one continues to keep the channel open and continues submission and continues following. It's not, in other words, it's an ongoing process of submission and receiving mercy. That was going on before, and now it's formalized and it is to continue. That's what is the process of initiation. Continuing on that journey for the other additional stages of achieving spiritual perfection. So, you're our, besides the crying children, you're our faithful members. It's a very cold night. You come anyway. It's been a very busy holiday. You come anyway. Thank you very much. You're very faithful in your worship of Radha Nila Madhava and following Prabhupada's teachings. Give your blessings to these devotees. That's why you're here, to give your blessings to these devotees, so they can be successful in upholding their vows and completing their journey back to Krishna. So, you make a little path, just to do it once, get all three of you. Go right that way and pay obeisances before Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. You can stay. Yes? One, while they're paying obeisances, one devotee here, Uttam Bhakta, I don't know if everybody knows everybody, but Uttam Bhakta has been serving here along with his good wife for a number of years. He's receiving second initiation, and she's taking care of her child. And when the child gets a little old enough to take care of himself a little bit more, she'll be able to complete her study of the devotional text. You can come here and pay visits also. She will also complete her study of Bhakti Shastri, and there's the door. So she's here supporting her husband taking this step ahead of her, and he's very grateful, and we're happy to see this happen. So now, initiation vows. So, how many rounds you'll chant every day? Okay, and the rules that you'll follow? Okay, and you'll very carefully follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada for the rest of your life. He's thinking. Yes. The initiated name is Swetadweep Das. Where can we Svetadvip is has a number of meanings, but one of the meanings is it indicates the spiritual world. White Island, it's a place where Lord Vishnu lies in the causal ocean on Svetadvip. But it also indicates the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performs his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. It's also called Svetadvip. Okay. The rules that you follow are?
No intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling.
Okay. And how many rounds you'll chant every day on your beats?
Minimum of 16.
Okay. He's got a strong, he's sure. And Srila Prabhupada's teachings you like very much, isn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
Too much. And you like the way Radhakrishna teaches Prabhupada's teachings?
Yeah.
Too much. Radhakrishna has been a very important part of his growing in Krishna consciousness. His inquisitiveness is pretty amazing when you get to know him. And his teacher is pretty amazing, and it's going to be a good combination between the two. Yes. Okay, your initiated name is Nisringa Pallavadas. One who is very dear to Lord Nisringadev, because he holds Lord Nisringadev very dear to him. I know one of his secrets, that's one of them. I know some other ones too. Did I give the wrong set of beats? Did I give the right set? Yes, okay. Oh, I see. Okay. How long has the road been for you?
5 years.
5 years? 5, 6 years?
5, 6, 7 years.
It's very colorful, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's very colorful.
Krishna is very kind. She told me earlier she was nervous, so I'm trying to get her not being nervous. So your vows, how many rounds you'll chant every day? Okay. And the rules that you'll follow? And you like Srila Prabhupada's teachings also, right? Very much. So you'll follow them carefully. Okay. Your initiated name is Anasuya Devi Dasi. Anasuya is one of the 9 daughters of Kardama Muni, and Anasuya was given in marriage to Atri Muni, and Anasuya, you'll find details of her life in 4th Canto, Chapter 1. She was the mother of the incarnations, partial incarnations of Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Brahma. She's a very special lady. And her husband is a very special husband, Atri Muni. So, Anasuya Dasi. So, let us proceed.